Welcome to the Life Affairs Podcast. This is a place where we share life experiences and the many lessons learned by just living. Join me to immerse ourselves and take a closer look at the stories that shaped and defined us. Just remember, there's no judgment and a lot of understanding on today's episode of the Life Affairs Podcast. Sunday, 18th of June, 2023, is Father's Day in the Netherlands. I think about the special occasion, and memories of my dad come rushing back to me. I can't really recall ever celebrating Father's Day with him when I was growing up. When his whole Father's Day thing became a big deal in Lebanon, I had already packed my bags and moved to the Netherlands, far away from my family. Even though my dad passed back in 2012, it doesn't make it any less important for me to write him a heartfelt note, to express my love. Ironically, the stronger love I feel for him than he was still alive. There's a vivid moment living with me involving my dad. Looking at it now, I realize that moments like this were the evidence of the incredible love he had for me. Funny enough, I'm not stuck in any of the scary stuff that happened. But what I do remember is this one powerful moment that gives me an overwhelming amount of love. It's something that happened on one hot summer evening. Darkness takes over because of the power outage due to the war events. I lie in my bed under those thin white sheets, desperately trying to fall asleep. Not because of the heat, it is more because I'm scared. I happen to overhear the grown-ups talking about some rough bombing that might happen at night. They are warning each other to stay alert because there is something in the air. So here I am. I lay in my bed and I try to drift off, feeling a bit reassured that the adults are keeping an eye out for me and for my siblings. But suddenly, when we think we have a bit more time, the expected happens. Bombs start raining down on our street and the whole neighborhood, like a crazy meteor shower. It's chaos all around. In this instant, I feel my dad's strong arms scooping me up from my bed. Urgently, he calls for my mom and siblings to run to the bomb shelter. We rush through the house like a supersonic rocket, racing down the stairs and up another set of stairs to reach the bomb shelter. I can see the fear in my dad's eyes as he holds me tightly. It finally hit me how much he loves me, how much he is willing to brave his own fears to make sure me, my mom, and my siblings are safe. It's such a simple act, something any parent would do. But my dad is not the touchy-feely type. In fact, I think he is the scariest man on earth. But on this evening, I see the truth of his love in its purest form. After my dad passed away, I struggled to cope with the enormity of his loss. Tears continue to stream down my face as memories of him flash before my eyes. And on one morning, I wake up, feeling this incredible connection with my dad. I dreamt about him during the night, and he looked amazing. He wears his ironed to perfection polo shirt. He smells all dapper with his familiar Old Spice aftershave. This is his signature scent. He looks so peaceful, so loving, and ridiculously handsome. It is in this moment that I can see he is in a good place, and dreaming of him like that helps me keep his memory alive, full of love and care. From that day forward, every time I mention my dad, it's like a flood of fantastic memories rushes in me. His presence lingers with me, shaping every aspect of my life. His influence extends far beyond his physical existence. His genetical existence, I see it every day in my son Liam. His wit, his courage, the way he speaks like he's bigger than life itself. All this is my father reincarnated in front of me. I also notice that his influence, it seeps into my writing. It colors my perspective on things. And this is the note, one of the so many notes I want to write for my father. But today I share this with you. And I hope when my siblings will listen to this episode, they will also write their own note. We're not here to talk about my dad anymore. Because here in my studio in Demon, my company is Sergio, my brother-in-law. I invited him to join me today as a special guest because I've been witnessing his journey into fatherhood. I'm really impressed by what I see. We are both savoring each bite of our coconut cookies. While Sergio takes a sip of his steaming cappuccino, I catch him off guard with my first question. Sergio.
Hola.
What is masculinity, in your opinion?
I think it has to do with showing who you truly are as a person, what you stand for. Let's say your values. Don't be afraid to show it. And to, yeah, I think that's important. Just dare to show who you are, who you truly are, what you find important. And don't think about what other people might think about it.
Are there times when masculinity is becoming a problem in our life these days, for men specifically?
If it becomes a problem by showing it?
By showing
because
it.
Because with masculinity, I think the general idea is that you need to show that you are maybe an alpha male and you can't show any emotions. So I think that's a dated idea in the past. When I look around, I don't see that much masculine men anymore. Is it a problem now by showing it? Well, it depends what part of it you show in terms of masculinity. If you talk about the masculinity in terms of, let's say, the alpha male, in terms of Trump-wise, yeah, it can get you in big problems. Yes, of course. But it really depends on what you show about, what you think about masculinity.
Maybe carrying something heavy. This is where we would need some extra muscles. This is an accepted one.
That's an accepted one, definitely. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But also if you translate it carrying something heavy in terms of your emotions, that's also one of the things that masculine men don't share. But in this day and age, I think we share a lot.
Together as men among each other or with partners and friends that are from a different gender?
Well, I think both. I think what I noticed in terms of my friends with sharing is that we shared a lot more. Of course, once we become older and once we understand the world a little bit better, we understand ourselves a little bit better. But I think one of the things is when kids came into picture, they started showing a lot more. I think it's easier to share with people you don't know or who are a little bit more distant from yourself, your private life. I think their judgment, and although they might judge, they're farther away from you than your friends and your family. So even though they might judge, you might not feel really judged by them. And it's like a safe place. So I think that's the reason why it might be easier to share also sometimes people or bounce ideas off of people than really bounce them off your closest friends and your relatives and your family.
Would a friend who would judge you for showing your emotions worth being a friend?
I think when you are younger, I think it is, because you're still discovering yourself and you don't want to show your weaknesses or your doubts. But when you get older, you appreciate it. And then you get to the understanding that everybody has their own, you might say, challenges. You're all the same. How I experienced it, the older I get, the more experienced I get, the more I notice like, hey, we share all these common things. Maybe somebody has a different problem, but challenge, but we experience it all. Uncertainties, all these type of things in life.
And of course, raising kids, that brings a lot of common things to discuss.
Yeah, definitely. Because you all are going through the same phase, of course, which a lot of the things are like the same. But then, of course, how I deal with it and how your kid in itself is a different, you know, it's a unique person. You cannot control how your kid is going to be. So that brings a lot of interesting challenges and yeah, nice experiences.
That's a very important part. We're going to talk about fatherhood and what it brings. But now that we like talked a little bit about masculinity, and I'd like to know, how do you see in others, of course, not in you, what is being a woman?
Well, I think I always associated it with caring, caring for people, caring for themselves, loving. When I think about feminine, I get a warm feeling. I don't know why, but I get like this warm, cozy feeling when I talk about it. But when I then go think about it now in what I've seen at work and what I've, and I think this day and age, it's also about strong, independent, successful women. And however you want to talk about successful, what it means, but basically the same as we men used to be. It was only for us having careers and being successful and having all these goals. I think now in this day and age, it's just equally the same.
One day you said something that stood out so much for me and made me think of how much actually I know Sergio. And I realized that I don't know you that well, but that one thing you said meant a lot. We were talking about how in the Netherlands, when at marriage,
yeah,
men can also take the name of the woman. I have not met a man who took the name, the last name of his wife. I mean, we do have couples that keep their own names. No one take anyone's name. But in the Netherlands, we have this, maybe in other countries, but I don't know about that. A man can take the name of his wife. We were discussing it, yeah, in the family at dinner table. And you said, yeah, why not? That's not a problem. That stood out. We didn't have the opportunity to talk about it more. Yeah. So now I'm putting you on the spot on the podcast to ask you, how come you are from that space that think,
yeah,
why not? I'm going to take the name of my future wife.
It's funny. I had this conversation before with Lisa. And Lisa always jokes that she is proud of her name. She's called Kort Kaas. I don't like kaas. I don't like cheese. And she's proud of her name. So if we are going to marry, then I should take her name as well if she wants to take my name. So that's how the conversation started. Of course, I am open to taking her name. I mean, she's open to taking my name. We are already sharing everything, right? I mean, we are together for more than 10 years. We have two beautiful kids. So we're already sharing everything. So why not a name? And she's proud of it. She's proud of her family. She's proud of her heritage. And if we are going to marry, why not then share it? It's also a part of sharing. So it isn't a big deal to me to say like, no, I'm not going to take your name. Of course, if you're going to take my name, I'm going to take your name. We already share the most important thing, and that's our kids.
The day you do that, yeah, you're going to shout it from the rooftops.
Yes, we are going to shout it from the rooftops. I think a lot of people are waiting for it. They just want a party.
Parties are good.
Yeah.
Tell me, together with Lisa, you have two sons and the third one is on the way. Usually for women, there's this question. When did you want to become a mother? Or when did you want a child? I like to ask you this question. When did you want to become a father?
I cannot pinpoint it really. It's funny because it includes you and Rianto. I think I already knew from, let's say, quite a young age that I wanted to have kids, but I didn't know when was the time, was the partner. And when I got to know Lisa, it wasn't a thing, a topic, it wasn't important to us. But then Liam was born and some friends of ours also had kids. But then we got to experience up close what it is and what it means to have a baby and to have a child of your own. And I experienced with Liam when he was a little baby that you like love that person, right? And you just want to take care of that little person, right? And it wasn't even my baby. So at that time, I think it went quite fast. And then we said like, hey, isn't it time for us to start a family? So that was the time where we really had that conversations and we really started thinking about like planning for a family.
Did you have a kind of notion for yourself, what kind of father you will be?
I think so. Yeah. I'm quite sure that I knew what type of father I am going to be, but also what I wanted to be.
Can you share this with me?
Well, I was always, I think, caring about people, and I always had a lot of, I think, love to give. So I knew that about myself, and I always find it. I think from from my group of friends, I think when we were a little bit younger age, I think I was also more interested or asking questions about your feelings and having more interest in the person itself rather than all the things outside when we were like teenagers. So I think that at that time I already knew what type of father I wanted to be and what I find important as being a father, and why I think what I find important as being a father is, I think, well, of course, you might know, right, is that my parents were divorced at a young age. I think communication is a very important part of having with your kids and raising your kids. So I think in my family, there was lacking some type of communication. I don't think love was lacking, but communication and helping your kids prepare for the world, I think that was what I was missing. So I knew, like, hey, what I missed, what I wanted to have, and I want to have that for my kids. And I think that's, I think that's a good, how do I say, how I should raise my kids and being a good dad means.
Can you take me with you to how you felt the first time you held your newborn son?
It was a feeling of, oh my God, this little creature who's so reliant on me and his mom, who can't do anything. There's this unconditional love from the first moment you set eyes on him. And then also the name, right? So he's called James, we call him James. It was like really James. There's no other name that's possible. And yeah, the feeling, it's indescribable. It's the best in the world. It's unconditional love. It's really, really hard to describe in words. And then taking care for this little guy who can't do anything, it's amazing.
So when you saw him, you felt ready for him?
Yeah, I felt ready for him.
No fears?
No fears whatsoever. No fears whatsoever. No. I mean, fears will come later, but at that moment, no fears. No.
What kind of fears came later?
These little things, right? Am I doing it right? Do I understand him? Can I give him what he needs? These certain things, they come and go. Because in general, I know that it's good, but there's little fears. What type of fears do I have now? Well, you have these strange stories about kids getting stabbed at school in the Netherlands. If he goes to high school, if these things might happen, or if he get bullied or whatsoever. Yeah, strange fears that you have. He's not there yet, but yeah, sometimes you think about it when you see something on the news. Yeah, it's crazy then.
I don't want to be very harsh in describing it, but I feel becoming a parent, it comes with a curse. And the curse is this fear of the safety of your child.
Yeah, because that's the most important thing. James is a little me, and I want to protect it from everything outside in the world. And we can't protect them for everything, because we need to prepare them. But it is, it's the paternal feeling that we have as parents.
Can you tell me about the parental feelings you have? I can tell you for hours about the motherly feeling, because a baby grew inside of me, but a father child didn't grow inside of you. So you had to be on the sideline waiting for it to come.
Yeah.
And then James is born and all these parental feelings came out. Can you describe to me how do they look like, parental feelings?
Wanting to protect that little child that is yours and giving him everything to prepare him for what's to come in life. And that means, of course, love and values, but also structure, rules, how the system works, how society works financially. Just make sure that he has everything. And not in a sense that you should have the world, but just basic values, basic stability, not spoiled or whatever. Well, that's even maybe something that's important. I think it's important. Don't spoil my kids too much. But yeah, just wanting to make sure that you do everything in your capability to prepare him for what's coming in this world. And there's a lot coming in this world. So yeah.
And you were so happy. And it did not discourage you, the parental feeling, so you went for a second child.
Yeah, it gives so much joy and it enriches our life so much that, yeah, we wanted a second. Yeah, if we were lucky, we wanted to have a second. And we got lucky because we have a second. So there's, I think, about 16 months between James and Finn. We were still living here close by in Diemen. But yeah, it was very obvious that we wanted to have a second, if possible.
I find you, as a father, you have it, how can I say, under control. I see you busy with the kids, you have a full-time job, you also sport, you go out and do nice things for yourself, you still meet with your friends. How do you manage it all?
When James came, I immediately started working part-time. So like 32 hours a week. But also that's because I find it important to also raise my child. How do I manage it? Well, I think it starts with just understanding that everybody has 24 hours in a day and then prioritize what's important to you. And in terms of taking care for James when he was there, it went very automatically. I spoke also about to my colleagues about it. Your priorities become very clear. Your first priority is James, raising James. But what do I need to raise James? I need to be happy myself. I need to be fit myself. So I think I see everything in a process. So, okay, what do I need to be the best version of myself? Understand that. And I think I understand that very, very early in the beginnings, what I need in terms of having a social life, seeing friends, but also sports and work. When I have that in order, you know, I can schedule that in for myself. And that works for me. So I can do, I'm very happy in my life and see my friends, do the work that I need to do. Not too much work in terms of what some might see from the outside in terms of what they find important in a career. But it works for me. So I balance all these things and then I can be there for my kids.
Do the kids join you when you do your exercise and go to sport?
We used to, it's not a routine thing, but a couple of times me and Lisa went running outside here, and then we went on a bike, and then two kids on the bike, and then I ran for like 4 or 5 kilometers, and then Lisa took over, then she ran for 4 or 5 kilometers, and then James and Finn were on the bike, and then the last couple of meters, then James also went running with us. So that's what we did with them. But no, I don't sport with them. No, I do that on my own time.
Come back with a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mind.
Yeah, but I needed that all my life, doing sports, all types of sports. But I needed that to be, yeah, to feel happy, to feel energetic, to be myself. I think it's a part of me, I guess.
In your day at home, things are sometimes might be rough. Kids are not listening. Things are not getting done on time. Take me with you in a chaotic day of your life.
Well, one of the things that I'm sometimes still struggling with, but definitely in the beginning, is that as an adult, you have this whole plan, agenda, whatever. Your day should be like this, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. But with a baby, you cannot control them. So I think I had very difficulty in the beginning, like wanting to do something, but the baby was crying or needed a new diaper or still sleeping or whatever. It brought a lot of frustration in the beginning. Like, I have a schedule and it's not working. And that sometimes, even still now today, being a father of two, still having a plan in my mind and then thinking like, hey, wow, it makes me crazy that I can't do it. But then you think about it like, okay, it's kids. That's something you got to live with, and it's more and more routine now. Sometimes if you're like very tired and you had a stressful day and I don't know, you maybe you had a discussion with someone or maybe with Lisa, then sometimes from a, how's it, reflex or natural reflex, you might shout at them or whatever. Doesn't work, but you do that as a parent. But we try to be conscious about these things. But also, if we've done these things, for instance, when you think like, hey, I'm wrong, I was wrong at the time, we also explain it to them. So I often say that I'm sorry to my kids, and then I explain to them like, sorry, James, I got mad. I didn't know that this happened or that Finn started it or whatever. I'm sorry. And talk to them about it.
Are sometimes the roles turned around, like they want to explain something to you and you're too busy to listen?
Yeah, of course, these examples are there. Yeah. Yeah, well, most of the times this happens when I'm in a conversation with Lisa. We're having a conversation, and then it's most of the times it's James that wants to say something, and then no, James, no, and then we don't listen or just wait until we've grown up finish talking. But yeah, they're definitely there.
Grown up finish talking. When we grew up, when we were little, I don't know about you, the difference is not that big. Cultural, probably, back then. Growing up, we really had to stay quiet until the grown-ups have finished their conversation. And I don't think we challenged that. But our children challenge it. Is it because we give them so much space to talk and we listen?
I think it's important to listen to your kids, but I think there should be a fine line. I mean, if you always let them interrupt you, you have chaos for later on, and it also brings difficulties for the teachers and whatever. So I think you find a balance. I think where culturally where I came from, I think it's the same. You have like respect for your elders, and you let them speak. I think it was a little bit difficult with my upbringing because my mom was divorced. And divorce was in a different country, so she was a little bit further from her culture, you might say. But yeah, I think it's important to find a good balance in there.
In old times, they used to say it takes a village to raise a child. Nowadays, we live in cities and we're doing that all on our own because our families are far, and we just do it on our own as couples or single parents. What? How do you see it? Have you heard of it? It takes a village to raise a child?
I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. I do think maybe it's more nowadays that it's not the village anymore, but more the family itself. However, I don't have any difficulties, and we still have help. So when we were here at a small daycare at Kinderkorf, they were like educating our kids as well. And I find it very important. Now with the daycare that we have in, and with the teachers there, they also help educate our kids. When grandma, granddad, and not so much friends, even though my friends can definitely, if James or Finn does something, right, they can definitely say something about it. I wouldn't mind, because I understand that, you know, it's for the best. But I do think in this day and age, it's more the family itself that does it, then, rather than, I think, the whole village at that time.
Yeah, I like it that you said that you don't get offended or upset if someone would see a behavior and would try to talk directly to your child.
I wouldn't mind. Of course, it depends on what they say and how they say it. But no, I don't mind. No, of course. But it's
a person you trust, not a stranger approaching your child.
Well, even if it was a stranger, even if James, I don't know, he or James or Finn, he would, I don't know, say bad words to another kid, or throw something on the street, or hit a car whatsoever, right? If someone says something about it in a good manner, of course, it's okay. Or even if someone might have an angry James hit the car and that person is angry, I would understand it, right? I would explain it to him, but I would understand it, James, if you do that. People can get angry, right? How that person would communicate it to James, that differs. I cannot control it, but I can explain it. But I would understand it. And I wouldn't be mad. I mean, if you would hit my kid, that's a different thing. But yeah, I mean, they're part of society. So there are different people there who can talk to them about it.
Can you tell me how, together with Lisa, you are organizing your household, your tasks, taking care of the kids? How are things shared between you two?
Well, I think there's some, let's say, tasks divided that someone always does, be it because someone likes it or likes to do it. So Lisa always does the laundry, so that's really her thing. I'm always like vacuuming the house. I'm always the first out of bed in the morning with the kids, going downstairs, making their meals in the morning, preparing the lunch boxes. So Lisa can lie a little bit longer in bed now that she's pregnant. Then she comes down, washing the kids. She dresses them. I take them every time to school. We sometimes pick them up together. Now we have this hybrid way of working, so that's also a blessing, because you can do so much when you're at home. So during lunch, sometimes I do the groceries, or I already start cooking for the evening. Then we go to school. We pick them up mostly together that we pick them up. That's our moment together, right, with the four of us during a busy week. They come home. Lisa has prepared them little vegetable snacks because that's mostly the only vegetables they eat. We have dinner on the table and then we go. It depends a little bit, but mostly this time of year in the summer, we go outside for a walk with them before they go to bed. Then we bring them. We always bring them together to in bath and to bed. We have then a book, and then nowadays they also sleep together so they can play a little bit together. I think this whole process will take about 1 hour. And then I think by 6:30, 7-ish, they're in bed. Sometimes they sleep immediately. Sometimes it can take 45 minutes. And what we've learned is we don't have to shout at them or have to in bed. They will sleep when they are ready to sleep. And then next morning, they sleep like 11 hours, I guess. And the next morning, they're awake and it all starts again.
Is there a moment where you think, oh, it's so boring to be with a child? Win these things every day?
No, I don't get bored at all with these guys. No. I think, no, I really love having them around. I mean, bored, no. I sometimes get crazy or annoyed by them. Yeah, of course. It's a funny thing because sometimes they're like so busy and fighting and then laughing and then fighting and then laughing. And then I say to Lisa, I can kill these kids. And then when they're in bed, it's like we look at each other and it's like, oh man, I miss them. I miss them shouting and fighting and whatever. Boring? No, never. Can't imagine it's going to be boring ever.
Can you describe for me, what would your children do to drive you and Lisa up the wall?
Wow. So Finn, the youngest, this guy, he doesn't... I don't know. You give him a warning, it's like he just doesn't listen. And then, for instance, if he's bugging James and James says like, no, Finn, don't do it. And he keeps bugging him. And I say like, Finn, don't do it. You know, your brother already said like, don't do it, because he's annoyed, then stop it. And he looks at me, or sometimes he doesn't even look at me and he just keep on going and going and going. So with Finn, that's what annoys me. He's not impressed. He's not impressed by us. It's so funny to see where James is like, I shout at him once and he's like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. So he's more like Lisa and Finn is a little bit more like me.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, we recognize it. So Lisa is, she's also very caring, but also can, how should I say, worry sometimes. And she also told me that as a child, she was, as a young child, she was already worried about how to do her tax returns and getting a driver's license and have all these big adult insecurities as a child. And James has the same. What was the thing Eddie asked us last time? Yeah, are you going to give me to teach me how to drive? Or yeah. I said, no, you can get lessons, just like swimming lessons, right? You take it easy. You're not 18 or 17 yet. Take it easy. But more of these things, but you can see already on his face that he's thinking a lot of things over. It's so funny to see. And sometimes also a little bit, we worry a little bit for him because he's like, worrying about these things as well, where we think like you're just a kid, you shouldn't worry about these type of things. But it's also what makes him James. He's a very caring, loving, soft-spoken, funny guy.
And how does Finn look like you?
Well, I think already on how he looks like me, but I also think he's more energetic, you might say. He wants to fight, and he wants to, yeah, like you, when you have a little boy, he wants to demolish things, and he has just got that physical energy within him, which he cannot yet control yet. Yeah, I think he has that a little bit from that I have it.
And this is why you like sport. It helps you get your energy.
Yeah, it gives me energy. I you feel when you get a result in sports or whatever, but definitely physically, it gives me energy. I feel energized. I can take on the whole world if I'm finished, done my sporting.
When you look at your children, do you already see what kind of future each one of them might be having by knowing their personality, their what they like to do?
Well, I think it's difficult, but we do fantasize about it. So Finn, we say he's going to work in construction or something. He's going to be a bowfucker or something like that. And James, we think he's more on the communicate. He's strong in communication, right? So we Lisa thinks like maybe in a lawyer, something like that. Or I say like maybe in sales. But I think it's difficult. But we find it funny to fantasize about where they are going to end up.
Yeah, it is nice. I think it's a good fantasy.
Yeah, it is.
Own work is good.
But let's see. As long as they're happy, I guess, right?
Don't forget, AI will be like their backyard place. So maybe they're going to do something with it.
Crazy things happening with AI.
Yeah. In our modern world, there is divorce, there are single parents, children living in foster homes. But one thing is really, I think, is in statistics, in studies, is very proven that a life of a child is much better when he has or she has a father in their life or a father figure. Can you tell me, in your opinion, how a father or father figure in a child's life can make a difference for them?
Yeah, I think so. I think helping set an example in terms of what's expected of a man, of a male, or taking care of a family as well, and helping challenge or when you have these insecurities, let someone help him get past these insecurities and challenges that are in life. I mean, I have Hans. He was not my biological father. And he came into our life when we were already older. So he got 3 stepchildren who are already a little bit older. So even though I see Hans as a father figure, I do think I missed the father figure, because I think he also had some difficulties in terms of, these are not my kids. What is my role? And that's maybe one of the things that I miss. And I want to be there for my child, give them help along the way, prepare them for all the things that come along. And I mean, there's a role for the mother there, but of course there's also a role for the father there, because from nature, a dad does things differently. It's not like solely providing for the family, because women can provide as well. I think in the modern day and age, still the father is being looked at as the main provider, I guess. So it brings something different to the table besides the mother.
From my experience, I feel like, put away all the serious stuff, a father figure is also teaching courage to the child, because in our motherly instinct, we're so careful, we are scared. Don't jump, you will hurt yourself. Don't run. We want them to play it safely.
Yeah.
And father figure or father, I think, teach the boys and the girls. It's so important to teach the girls too, how to be courageous. Do you see it in such a way?
Yeah, I mean, I see it on a daily. So I sometimes can be very, very direct or maybe even harsh to the kids. So for example, when Finn fell yesterday, yesterday he fell. I didn't immediately pick him up. He was crying. I did not immediately comfort him. I asked him, Finn, is everything okay? Can you get up? And Lisa was like, no, go to him and pick him up and comfort him. And I was like, no, just let him see what he does now. And she's like, no, and when he cries it goes straight to my heart and everything, also being hormones now. But this is a daily example where our approach to this is differently. So definitely with the courage and maybe let them take risks, I do that more in compared to Lisa. And even though I also want to protect, but he also needs to take risks and explore things for himself. So that's a little different approach that we have. And I think between men and women in general, I guess.
That's a funny thing. Sometimes I let Rianto and Liam go and do things without me so they can be more adventurous and brave than having me being scared and worried about what they're going to do. I think Rianto loves this freedom to just be courageous with Liam without me.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good solution, right? That what you just said, like, oh, it doesn't work for me, so I'm not going to be there. Okay, fine. Right? It's a good solution.
It comes with age.
Asian experience.
Yes. It's all beautiful to be a father and wanting to give the best for your children, be there for them, support Lisa. What is the most challenging thing you found on becoming a father? Well, now your kids are not teenagers. Otherwise, you would have tons of answers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard that. Big kids, big problems, or big worries, what they say, right? Now, I think understanding what they need at any given, let's say, phase in their growing up where they are, I think that's an important challenge that I face. Because it's very easy to live your life. I have kids and then go about. But I don't think it's that easy. You should recognize what they need at what time. And this will change during their when they're growing up. So I think consciously thinking about how do we act at a certain moment? What does he need now? Letting him a little bit more loose or being very caring. And this also, I guess, depends on the child itself, right? Because they're different. But in terms of challenges, I don't see any real challenges. I mean, I hear a lot of these peer parents with not sleeping long and whatever. And we had that with Finn, right? For 1 year and a half, he slept like an asshole, like 4 or 5 hours, and then he was awake. But I never saw that as a challenge. No. It's, again, I'm thinking in processes, right? So if he's awake at 4 o'clock and then in the evening, and I had to go outside with a stroller 3-4 o'clock in the evening, even in winter, we walked here to the streets, and then about half an hour later he slept. And then so what did I do? I go to bed early. I need my sleep, he needs his sleep. He doesn't listen to me, right? He still wakes up for about 1 year and a half, right? What can I do? Okay, so I need to sleep. Okay, so I go to bed early. I do a little bit more sports. I go a little bit less outside, seeing my friends. Yeah, somewhere there needs to be a sacrifice. At least for me, there needs to be a sacrifice just to make sure that I can cope with it. And if I can cope with it, then the family can cope with it. We can get through it. But I've never seen it as a challenge or something. No, it's just, it was very important to me. That's how we made our family situation, I guess. Yeah, good.
What does becoming a father mean to you?
Yeah, it's everything. I think that's one of the things that when you ask me to do this, you ask me about, you should only talk about it if it's important to you. And I think I said, like, I'm not one to share, but this is the most important role that I have in life, being a father. And I don't take that lightly. I don't make sacrifices, but I just make sure my life is so organized that I can be the best version of myself for my kids. And that means, I think for us, we don't go outside or we see friends a lot, but the circle is small. So we definitely limit it on the people who we see. We don't go out every weekend. We limit it ourselves. And I think that's important to understand, and being able to, and sometimes having that helicopter view and then look at the family and then see, okay, what do I need to keep my family life going in a, I don't know, healthy, stable way forward, and bring these sacrifices for it. And I think that's important to keep reflecting on it, that I find it important to keep reflecting on it, like, is this still a good, healthy situation? Because I think it's so easy to, in daily life, to forget these things. You just live your life and life is just happening to you, or you can make it happen. And I think what we are doing is we're making it happen for our family. When I was younger, I had these insecurities about making a career. I should work hard. I should earn a lot of money. All these outside noises is what I thought was expected of me. So this brought up a lot of insecurities, like, you need to make a career, need to be a man, need to earn, I don't know, 100K a year or something like that. And then I started working part-time because the family is important. Some people find it important to have a career, and I don't have that, not anymore. If they have it, if they find the same joy out of it that I have in raising my kids and my family, I would understand that, but I don't have it. I think the most important role that I have is for my family, being a father. And I structure my life according to that. So I work less, I don't know, I balance it out.
Sergio, social media is flooded with reels and video these days. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. It seems like there are complaints, mostly from women, about men not meeting their expectations or failing to do certain things. I'm interested to know, as a man who stands strong for his family, how do you feel when you encounter, when you watch these videos? Is there any particular impression or meaning that you take from them?
I don't think I see those videos. I mean, I think I may sometimes see these jokingly videos on Instagram. I don't see the seriousness in them. I mean, if they are serious, it depends on their experience. And it depends on their experience and what they did with what they do with their experience. So if it's really a problem for them and they post these things online, well, I'm thinking, did you share this with your partner? Is this something, if it's so heavy for you, did you share it? Did you talk about it? Did you let the partner know what you are expecting? When is it going to be a fair? When you're going to be happy, when it's going to be fair. I mean, I can imagine there are some relationships out there where, for instance, the man brings in the money and the wife does maybe all the chores in house. But if that works for them and they're happy, fine by me.
And obviously, the partners see in the videos. Well, they know. Now they know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if they know, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You're in it together, so you should make it work together. But if you have these hateful videos online, that doesn't work. I mean, I would be appalled by it if Lisa would do this. And maybe, yeah, if she didn't talk to me, definitely. But yeah, I would ask like, hey, what's wrong? And how can I help? What can I do to make it work? And you sometimes have these things. We're still in our life, we have these things. She does a lot more of the, in terms of the, let's say, the school context. And it's one of the things that's not really like discussed, right? But she does it automatically. But then I didn't knew that she also wanted me to maybe do a little bit more about these things and being a little bit more update about it. So it can happen all the time, but that's not a big thing and we discuss about it. But I don't think it's a big thing as the examples that you mentioned.
Yes. Well, Sergio, you make fatherhood look so easy, so natural.
Yeah, it is easy, but it's also not easy. But the energy that I get from it makes it easy.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Sergio and Lisa are expecting their third child anytime this month. They ordered it 9 months ago and it's going to be delivered in June. Very soon, anytime, maybe as I speak even. I can't wait to see the little baby and look forward to have James and Finn come over, have a sleepover at our place and connect together, because luckily they have also their uncle Rianto, my husband, who is a great father, wonderful stepfather. It's just amazing to celebrate Father's Day when there are such wonderful men in my life. Also, I want to give a big shout out to my ex. He is truly a wonderful father. That was it for today. I will let you go and enjoy whatever you're doing with your father, with your husband, with your fatherly person in your life. And remember, there's no pressure. If you can celebrate your father on Father's Day, well, you know what? Every day can be Father's Day. Every day can be a celebration day. So just make the best out of it, no matter when. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and family and ask them to subscribe. Leaving a rating and review on platforms like Apple Podcasts can also help boost the podcast's ranking. Your support through word of mouth is greatly appreciated. If you feel I'm encouraging you to tell your story, contact me on rula@thelifeaffairspodcast.com. You will see my email in the show notes. I'll see you next time.